And I want to be in 2 Samuel, and talk about something that we don't talk about too much. Oh, we talk about it some. I talked a little about it this morning in Sunday school hour, and it's I don't know if I can say it right. There's theology, sociology, anthropology, and all the ologies. You know what I'm saying? And it's a whole list of them. And when you study in Bible school, they make sure that you learn all those technical terms, I guess, so you can impress, I don't know, the natives, I don't know. But there's one that I remember, hamartiology. It's kind of hard to say, but it starts off with H-A-M, ham. Hamartiology is what it's got an I in it, so it's a little tongue twister. And I wanted to talk about that tonight. It's a fancy way to talk about the doctrine of sin. You say, man, that big old fancy word just for a little old three-letter word. Well, that's how they do it in Bible school, I guess. And I seen it in my notes, and I thought, the doctrine of sin, hamartiology. And I remember it being on the test years ago, and I remembered it by the word H-A-M, and it started with H-A-M, Ham. And Ham, Shem, Ham, and Japheth got off the ark, and Ham, he got cursed because of his sin. And so I kind of remembered all that, and that's how I remembered it. But tonight I'm going to digress and get back down to where we live and talk about the sinful doctrine of sin just for a few moments, because we're sinful folks. We're sinners saved by grace. We're saved tonight by the grace of God. If you're saved and then you've saved by grace, and you knew somewhere along the line you were a sinner, you came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that tonight, possibly tonight would be the night that you could do that. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9, and let me use a few, five verses of scripture for a text tonight, and begin in verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? That's the question. He's asking this question. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite. Now, automatically, we know that this is at a time that David had committed egregious sin. He says, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said, and here's my text, and David said unto Nathan, and Nathan was the preacher. He was the prophet of the day. He was the guy that came in with the bad news. And, you know, and that's why people don't like the preacher sometimes, because he's going to tell it straight. He's going to tell it true, and he's going to tell it hard. And not always, but sometimes he has to. So he says, and David said unto Nathan, and by the way, David had a lot of respect for Nathan the prophet, and later on in David's life, he had named one of his sons after Nathan the prophet. He had such respect for him and called that son Nathan. That's just as we say around here, a little sidebar. And David said unto Nathan, here's my text. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Now, not only did Nathan come in to give him the bad news that he was a sinner and he had sinned, he also gave him the good news that God forgave him of his sin. And I think I like the whole story. Not to justify sin, but I'm glad God still forgives the sinner. Amen. So if we're going to understand sin tonight and the doctrine of sin and the teaching on sin, I've entitled the message just, I have sinned. And I wonder when's the last time that you got down on your face before God and just said, Lord, I have sinned. I'm a sinner. Wash me in your blood. You say, are you talking to saved people or lost people? I'm talking to saved people right now. You say, well, I done that when I got saved 35 years ago. Might be good that you get down every once in a while and just tell God you're still a sinner and you still sin. And you might just say the words. I know it's hard to say the words. It's hard to confess of these things and come clean with God and just say, I have sinned. And the good news is if you can do that, you might hear that still small voice that we was talking about a few weeks ago. Thou art forgiven, my child. Boy, what reassuring words. What comfort comes with knowing that we have a all-powerful, long-suffering, merciful God that knows we're a sinner. And David said, he knoweth my thought afar off, and talked about his downsettings and his uprisings, and his downsittings outweighed his uprisings, and he cried out before God because he knew he was a sinner and he knew he had sinned, and he knew God had mercy above the abundance of anything anyone ever heard of. And the prophet was able to tell him, God has forgiven you of your sins. So I want to pray this evening and ask God to bless now our little study on the doctrine of sin. I have sinned. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for a chance to preach your word. And thank you for an opportunity to always open the word of God and find something from us that teaches us, guides us, comforts us, may even convict us and might even alarm us once in a while, but God, you're still on the throne, and you're still just, and you're still righteous, and you still love us, and you still comfort us, and as Brother Chad sang, what a day that will be, one day when we step into eternity, we won't have to worry about this world of sin and sorrow, and it'll have all passed on, and we'll be over there. So bless, and if there's one here tonight that isn't saved, and finally sees that they're a sinner and need to be saved, that tonight they could say the simple words, I have sinned, and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And here in our text, David simply says, I have sinned. What a title, I have sinned. What a statement to make, I have sinned. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. You see, sin always costs you something when you sin. And writers have said and preachers have preached, it'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. It will mess with you in such a way that it'll break your fellowship with God. David says here, as we notice, I have sinned. Those are hard words to say. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy. And in our Sunday school lessons, we've been teaching along some of these lines. But in 1 Timothy, now it's been weeks since we've been in 1 Timothy. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, the doctrine of sin is a very important doctrine, and every once in a while, we just need to be reminded of where God brought us from. Amen. And we need to be reminded of our propensity to sin, if we can get away with it. So here in the book of Timothy, and that's verse 6, verse 13 in 1 Timothy 4, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So tonight we're giving space to doctrine. We're preaching a doctrinal message on sin. And we want to learn a little bit about that. And David said here, and we pick up a man in the Old Testament that we're all familiar with, and we're familiar with the sins that he committed there when he took Bathsheba, killed Uriah, so on and so forth. And the prophet come in and looked at him and said, you're the man that done all this. And David simply said, I have sinned. And in that saying, I have sinned, there's a tremendous lesson. You know, it's real hard for folks to say, I have sinned. You realize that, you know, we may think we're getting away with a little something, and we know it's not right, doesn't line up with the Word of God, doesn't line up with good morals and good principles and good standards, and maybe we a slip of the tongue or something like that, and then it becomes a habit, and then the next thing you just let yourself get away with it. And it's real hard to confess, God, I have sinned. It's real hard to do that sometimes. But could I say this? We learned this from the lesson. David was able to see himself for what he was and say, I have sinned. Makes me think of that woman over at the well. Oh, she was a worldly woman. She was in a harlot and had to come in the middle of the day in the heat of the day in John chapter 4 to get water from the well because of the people that would sneer and jeer at her. And who should be at the well that day but Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And he began to speak to her and tell her about the water and the water of life. And she was a lost woman, but she knew she was a sinner. And she perceived that she was speaking to a prophet of God. And she said, tell me of this water. You know what Jesus did? He showed her herself, and then he showed her himself. And when she realized he knew more about her than she wanted anybody to know, and then he told her about himself and his willingness to forgive and to give her of that everlasting water, that woman got saved and left the water pots and ran back to the city and began to tell everybody she met about the Lord Jesus Christ, a man that spoke like no other man had ever spoken, and told me things about myself that only I knew, and I confessed, I have sinned. And there's time after time after time. I mean, there was a woman one time taken in adultery in the New Testament, and the Pharisees, they brought the woman before the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's been taken in the very sin. And brother, you ever wonder, how did they know? Unless they were involved. And Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. When he looked up, they had gone out. I don't know if he's writing their names down in the sand or if he's writing the law down and they were convicted by the word of God. Either one of them would have done the trick. But when he looked up and the woman looked up, they were gone. And he said, woman, where art thou, accusers? And he looked at her and said, go and sin no more. That's the kind of Savior I got tonight, amen? So there's something to be said about acknowledging the fact that we're sinners. So David said, I have sinned, and God forgives us of our sins and puts them out of his mind, removing it to the far distance. And the good news tonight, look if you would in Psalms 103, and David's the man that writes this down. David's the man that knew about this. David's the man that said, I have sinned. But in Psalms 103, in verse 12, look what he says. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. David knew that not only did he forgive personal sins, but he forgave national sins. And if anybody should be able to step up and say, I have sinned tonight, it ought to be the United States of America. Amen. You're welcome. You know, this message didn't only stir me for me and you tonight, it stirred me for the nation I live in. Our nation has sinned against a just and a righteous God. But David has good news. He's able to forgive us our sins. Take your Bible, if you wouldn't, look what the prophet says in Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 38. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17, and the prophet's talking about the nation of Israel, makes me think of the nation of the United States of America. He said, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Brother, that's the kind of God I've got tonight. And that's the kind of God the Lord Jesus Christ is. Brother, he knows we're sinners. He knows nations around the globe are sinners. He knows America's a sinner tonight. But brother, I know this. If America confess her sin and fall on her face before a just and an almighty God, God would hear and forgive us our sins because of his great long suffering and mercy. That's the message tonight. Take your Bible and look in Isaiah chapter 44, talking of the nation of Israel, which is a pattern and a liken and a shadow of the United States of America, because it's considered God's people. Verse 22, chapter 42, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Listen, it's our Redeemer. And Job said, "I will see my Redeemer one of these days." And listen, it's the Lord Jesus Christ of glory that redeems us. That's who America used to bow to. That's who America used to pray to. And I got a feeling God wouldn't mind hearing from our nation today. And it can start from the pulpits across the land. Little prophet Micah in the minor prophets in the last days of the nation of Israel cried out and said to the Lord that the Lord was a gracious God and a merciful God. In Micah chapter 7 and about verse 14, he said, verse 19 right in there someplace, that God could put the sin of the nation behind his back and move forward. And I believe God's still that kind of a God today. The doctrine of sin. He said, putting it into the sea. That's what Micah said. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, the prophet cried out. He knew the same thing, that once you confess your sin, God would remember it no more. How about that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, still speaking to the Jewish people, God was able to take care of sin. He always has been able to take care of the sin problem. If we are to preach on sin, we must understand the doctrine of sin. And remember this morning I talked about the mother sin. Let me say it like the original sin. That was in the garden. Even, yea, before the garden. Could I say that? If you're to study sin, you have to go back to when the first time sin is mentioned and found out in the Word of God. And brother, that's Lucifer himself, the fall of that man, the original sin. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 down through verse 17, gives the account of Lucifer himself, the anointed cherub that covereth, that says, "I will arise before the very throne of God." Five times he says, "I will, I will, I will." He wanted to be above God, and sin was found out in him, and he was cast out. Say, what is that? That's the original sin. You say, well, will the devil ever repent and get right? No, he's too full of pride. Amen. That's the doctrine of sin. Then you can read about in Ezekiel chapter 28, the fall of Lucifer, verse 17. And then it trickles down to man in Genesis chapter 3. Of the devil is found in the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve, and they were perfect. They walked, and God walked with them and met them in the cool of the day and walked with them, and all of a sudden told them, "Don't eat of that tree." And Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. She disobeyed God. Say, well, what happened to her? The Spirit of God departed from her. Well, she was still alive. She was still okay. Oh, yeah, she was getting around. She had her soul, her body, and her spirit, but none of God's spirit. See, before she had her soul, her body, and her spirit, and God's spirit were united, just like marriage. And it's taught that way by the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians. They are joined together like a man is joined to a woman, and they, as a man and woman, are one flesh. God, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of man are one spirit. But in the garden, when they disobeyed, God departed and left them in outer darkness. Because of the original sin. You say, did David know all that when he said, I have sinned? I'm sure he did. And if he didn't, I'm sure the prophet Nathan informed him of the such. Amen. Watch out. The original sin. The fact of sin. The fact of sin, you can't get around it. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. Death proves that man is a sinner. Ever wonder why we preach so many funerals around here? Because sin is everywhere. We're infected with sin. Now, I told you I'm only going to say three things tonight. I've already said two. The original sin, the fact of sin. Let me just give you this briefly, then I'll give you the three things. We're going to go eat some cake, amen? Celebrate this birthday. Say, man, I'll have heartburn all night after you preaching like that on sin. Well, don't eat so much. Oh, I'm meddling now. And then there's the nature of sin. How it affects you. And those around you. You see, in that little text where David said, I have sinned, and Nathan went on to say those things that he said there. And in verse 3, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme of the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Listen, your sin doesn't only affect you. Your sin will affect those around you and closest to you. Amen. The nature of sin. What do you think's wrong with America? Brother, it's just let go. It kicked God out, kicked the Word of God out. And today, it needs to do some confessing. Let me say this. Number one, sin always finds you out. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? You say, well, how do you get that? Well, there in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Samuel, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Oh, my. And the man of God's coming. Look out. I wonder what the preacher's preaching on today. I hope he don't preach on my liquor drinking. Amen. I hope he don't preach on my card playing. Amen. I hope he don't preach on my cigarette smoking, my tobacco chewing, my snuff dipping, or whatever else you did. And I'm not, none of that stuff will send you to hell. What if he preaches on the original sin, how the devil fell and affected man, and when you were born into this world a sinner, and you just simply need to be saved. Amen. Say, what is that? I don't care how many cigarettes you smoke. I don't care how much liquor you drink. I'm telling you, if you ever get saved, you'll change some of that stuff. Amen. Say, what is that? Sin will always find you out. And he sent Nathan the prophet into David in verse 7. He said, thou art the man. And brother, God help the preacher that has to come in and say, thou art the man. Hell, tell it to me straight, preacher. Tell it to me hard. Oh, I don't know about that. Because if a preacher knows himself like he should know himself, he knows he's as rotten as the next guy. And all he got to do is preach to himself, and he'll get 99.9% of everybody else. Amen. You say, why? Because we're humans. Amen. Sin always finds you out. And brother, as Moses told Israel in the Numbers, in the book of Numbers chapter 32 over there in about verse 23, and they were splitting up the land and getting ready to cross over the Jordan River and take the land of Canaan, and some of the tribes, 2.5 tribes, wanted to stay on this side, and they didn't want to go over and cross the Jordan. They didn't want to engage the enemy. They didn't want to fight the battles in the new land. And Moses said, look, boys, you can stay over here if you want to, but be sure, your sin will find you out. In other words, if when we got to go to battle and we call on you and you don't come, that's going to be a sin unto you. And brother, God will take it up with you, and he'll bring the pestilence on you. He'll bring the diseases on you. He'll bring all the plagues upon you. Sounds like America, doesn't it? Amen. Say, what is it? Well, in those days, sin found them out. Watch this. Man may never find out our sin. You know, you can hide a lot of stuff from people. You can be as slick as Teflon Willie. Some of you remember that. And man may never find you out for sure. They may think you're a golden orator and man, you can just about walk on water and all that other kind of stuff. But God will always find you out. He already knows your sin. David could have covered that thing up and tried to cover that thing up, but man, God whispered in the ear of Nathan the prophet and set him in there, and he began to weave that story about the little ewe lamb, and Brother David rose up and swole up, didn't even know he's getting a setup job, and Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Say, what happened? God always knows your sin. The preacher may not know, but God may whisper in his ear when he's down praying and say, "You need to preach on this or preach on that." And brother, he'll get loaded for bear and he'll get up there and he'll preach the word of God. And somebody will go out there madder than a wet hatter. You say, why? Somebody told the preacher what I was doing. No, nobody told the preacher, but God himself. Amen. And preacher be just oblivious to it, just smiling. And man, I wonder what's wrong with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. She wouldn't even shake my hand. Say, what are you saying? Sin always finds you out. Nathan tells the story to bring home the fact of sin and, brother, the force of sin and the folly of sin. If you don't think that sin has a force behind it, you've been deceived by the devil himself. And brother, if you don't think that sin is a fact in everyday life, somebody's sold you a bill of goods. And if you don't think sin is folly, I know you're delusional. Amen. Adam was found out. God showed up just like always. Adam's over there sewing fig leaves together trying to hide from God. God said this, "Adam, where art thou?" God knew where Adam was. Adam didn't want to admit where he was. And brother, we get just like Adam. We get the Adam syndrome. And brother, the man of God will come in and preach the word of God. The pastor will get in behind the pulpit and preach and lay the word of God out. And brother, we're so full of pride and so full of Adam and so full of self, we won't say, "I have sinned." Adam was found out. Abraham was found out. Yeah, we can go through them all. Aaron was found out. He made them golden calves. I mean, no one anywhere in the Word of God has ever gotten away with sin. Saved man or lost man, you won't get away with sin. You say, what is that? That sin always finds you out. Amen. Point number one. Point number two. Sin always grieves God. Amen. And I know that by 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, and a couple other places. But the thing that David had done, the Bible says this, displeased the Lord. God has been grieved many times by the sins of his people. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways." Say, what is that? That's a God that's grieved with our sin. And then a little further in verse 17 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned?" That's Hebrews chapter 3 verse 17. "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" Absolutely. You say, what are you saying? Sin always grieves God. You say, "Well, I just did a little sin. I don't sin much. I just sin a little bit." I don't care how little it was or how big it was. It grieved God. You see, he's altogether righteous. He's altogether holy. He's altogether perfect. And he cares about his people. Could I say this? He cares about every person. Every person. And then let me say, in Paul said this to the Thessalonians, warning them about the doctrine of sin. He says, quench not the Spirit. See, what was that in reference to? The fact that sin grieves God and it will quench the Holy Ghost of God. I have a statement. Sin is the rebellion of man in the face of God. Amen. You say, what is it? Because when a man is in sin, when a woman is in sin, when any person is in sin and it's brought to their attention, I'm not talking about ignorance in sin. I'm talking about enlightened and knowing that they're a sinner, and then they turn from God and they rebel against God. There's no hope for them. They'll perish in a devil's hell when God has made it so simple for a person to get saved. So, first thing, sin always finds you out. Second thing, sin always grieves God. Third thing, and I'm done. Sin always affects others. Amen. In verse 14, howbeit in 2 Samuel 12, howbeit because by this deed thou hast great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You know, when you sin openly as a Christian, a child of God, somebody sees you out in the world, brother, that blasphemes the very God that you say you love and you trust. To the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And the child did die. You say, why? Because of David's sin. The child surely did nothing wrong. By the way, the child died and went to heaven, and David grieved over that child, and he knew in his heart, because he had sinned and taken that man's wife, and she had conceived a child and had that child, and that child died. David knew he wasn't ever going to get that child back. But God gave him a promise on that thing, said, that child can't come to you, but you can go to him. Say, what is that? That's a little light of the long-suffering of God. And if you'll confess your sin, God's able and willing to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even murder, even killing, even adultery, any kind of sin you can name, that's the kind of business he's in. For when he died for the sins of the whole world, he died for every sin imaginable that a man could even sin, even for the original sin. And if there's not too much pride in you tonight, you can simply step up as a lost person and say, I have sinned, I'm a sinner. And God would say, forgiven, I'll forgive you if you'll trust me as Lord and Savior. If you're saved tonight and you say, well, I've been walking a little far away from the Lord. Why? It's because of your sin, because sin will take you away from God. And all you have to do is simply say, in the privacy of your own pew, God, I have sinned. And I want you to forgive me. And God will speak in your heart. He'll say, look, you're forgiven. He'll speak through the word of God. You're forgiven. And brother, you can go out all fixed up tonight by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin always affects others. Also, verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. Oh, we think we're getting away with our sin. But here in David's case, he says, look, you killed a man and you murdered a man and you committed adultery with his wife, and then you took his wife, and man, the child's going to die because of your sin. And by the way, the sword is not going to depart. And man, you remember when Nathan come in and told him about the little ewe lamb, and David said he ought to pay fourfold. Remember that? Well, God said, guess what? You're going to lose four of your direct members in your family. You say, why? God takes this stuff serious. And our sin always affects somebody else. A man does not live unto himself, and a man does not die unto himself. So I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Verse 7 of chapter 14 in Romans. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth. I just quoted that. David's sin killed his own son by Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 2, verse 8, 12, verse 18. The next one to die was Ahithophel, 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, David's son. And he grieved that boy, and he knew when that boy died, when he was killed, he knew why. The next one to die was Amnon. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 32, you say, what happened? Well, he got killed out there in battle. And David knew when the word came why that son was killed. And then the next one to die, the one that was very close to David, the one that even tried to deceive and take over the throne, was his son Absalom. He dearly loved that son, and he was the son of the daughter of the king of Gershom. And he was a beautiful man, the Bible said. He had hair like you wouldn't believe, and the people loved him, but he wanted the throne. And if you remember, he died hanging in an oak tree by his hair. And they cast the darts through his spear, through his heart, and killed him. And man, David knew when that word come back. And he didn't want them to harm that boy. He said, no, don't harm him. Don't kill him. And boy, when they brought the report back, may all your enemies be as that young man is. David knew in his heart that he was paying for that sin. Then lastly, Amasa, his nephew, close to him, 2 Samuel 20, verse 10, was killed by Joab, his general. By the way, Joab killed Absalom also, David's general. See, Joab, I don't know if you know this or not, but Joab was a killer. And by the way, sin will kill you. The wages of sin is death. See, what are you saying, Brother Phil? I'm saying our sin always affects somebody else. Fourfold meant first son, Amnon, Amasa, and Absalom. David was judged by his own word, and it kept on going. Adonijah, then Joab, then Shimei, in 1 Kings 2, 44 and 46. If you follow it out, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 talks about the bitterness in Proverbs 14, verse 10 that is connected with the sin that always affects someone else. And Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Before you go out in sin, think how it is going to destroy the lives of others. And guess what? It'll be those closest to you. So the homes, the children's, the families, the churches, the brethren. I can't help but say this tonight. America has sinned, and it has affected everybody in America. I appreciate the message this morning, and it gave me great confidence to go on for God. Amen. But the reality, the fact is we're a nation of sins against a holy and a just God. So tonight, if you're not saved, let me say this in closing. The Bible says, and I quoted part of this verse, Romans 6:23. Let me give you the other part, because I always like the good news to this thing. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, God is still able to save a sinner. Amen. I love that. He's able to save a sinner. He's able to clean up a sinner. You say, well, I'm already saved. I just ain't walking with the Lord like I should. Well, it's because of sin. You get that thing right, you can walk with God. You say, well, do I have to make a spectacle out of myself? Absolutely not. You can hear the word of God. You can do just like David did. They didn't draw an audience. They didn't take it down to the church house or the synagogue. They didn't take it into the temple, even the privacy of his home. It was a one-on-one thing. It can be a one-on-one thing with you and God tonight. If God has spoken to your heart and said, you know that thing right there, you need to get that right, that thing right there. All you got to do is say, I have sinned. You don't have to make a spectacle. You say, what'll happen? God will forgive you. That's what'll happen. Yeah. Say, well, I'm lost, and I don't want to die and go to hell. That's a good reason to want to get saved. Amen. Because, see, you inherited that sinful nature from Adam, and every person born in this earth is a sinner by birth and needs to be born again. Tonight, if you're not saved, you can trust Christ. And it can be a one-on-one thing. It don't have to be a spectacle. You can be in the privacy of your pew, the privacy of your car, the privacy of your home, the privacy of your bedroom, wherever you want to be. It can be right here. It could be private. You could say, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. God said, that's right. That's right. You need to take care of that thing. You don't want to die in your sin now and go to hell. You want to go to heaven. And then when you say, I'm a sinner, would you save me? God moves in just like that. Say, what is that? That's salvation, full and free. Amen. So if you're not saved tonight, you can get saved tonight. As we teach and preach around here, every time we get a chance, we do that. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm finished with my lesson, my preaching tonight, a little preaching tonight. And I ask you to come and help me, and I can play something if you want to talk. Now, it's your birthday. It's a special night for you. So let me, I don't mean to put you to work here. If somebody does need to come, you're sure welcome to come tonight. I'll play a verse just as I am or something like that.